nothing infuriates me more
I love
than
it.
Biting into a sandwich and having stuff
I bet all of us can name something that infuriates you more right now.
I mean, like, yeah, child rapists infuriate me more than...
More than runny peanut butter?
More than runny peanut butter. Yes. But I'm saying, food-wise.
This is Ian Burchett, and you're listening to Unstable Discourse.
Welcome in to episode 7 of season 2 of Unstable Discourse.
Yes.
Siete.
Dude.
Yeah.
How?
It's too many episodes.
It is.
How is that halfway through what we did 1 year ago?
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
That's how we start the episodes normally, right? Yep. Yeah. Welcome in, guys. We're back. Season 2, episode 7, From the Window to the Finwall. We're here with Mr. Zach Finwall. It's the crew. It's Ryan Fancher of Unstable Disc Golf Gear.
Yes, sir.
Sean Callahan of Delwood Disc Golf.
Yeah, boy.
Jason Callahan of Bag of Tricks.
Bada badow.
Ooh, bringing it back.
Saucy. And Zach Finwall of Team Delwood Disc Golf and of the world record for Raptor Aces.
And beards.
And thick beards.
Thickest beards.
That's thick with two C's.
It's only conditioner.
And I'm Alex Seminary of Disc Golf Chicago. Welcome in, guys. We're at we're in the boardroom at Embers in Lockport, right across the hall from 933, the speakeasy with the good cocktails. I have a fancy Manhattan in front of me. What are you drinking?
As do I.
You got a Manhattan as well?
Same.
There's a new bartender at 933. His name is Nick. He seems like he knows what he's doing. He's got the outfit.
He's wearing a vest.
He sure does. Yeah.
He looks
Did he have
like
a twisty mustache?
It looked like it's getting there.
He can, right. I think. It's not there yet. It's not there yet.
Yeah. No stranger to a twisty mustache, guaranteed.
Okay. Got it.
But he told me the secret to a good Manhattan is just good vermouth.
So, I can see that.
Have you tried it?
Yeah. It's good.
Here we go.
It's very good.
Smooth. It is smooth. That's good.
Yeah, it's good.
Smooth. But yeah, we're upstairs at Embers in Lockport. If you guys haven't been here, come check it out. We've only told you 7 times now.
They had some specials today. I had an Oasis Island burger. I think that's what it was called. It was great. Some crunchy onions and some Thousand Island dressing.
Was there pineapple on it?
No, there wasn't. But there was a burger that had pineapple on it. Ooh. I almost got it.
Big Kahuna Burger. That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
It looked pretty good.
Yeah, they got some tasty burgers.
Mind if I have a sip of this to wash this down?
My girlfriend's a vegetarian, which pretty much makes me a vegetarian.
You know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in France?
No.
Tell them, Vincent.
Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese.
And that's all the Pulp Fiction quoting we're going to do for this episode.
That is a tasty burger.
This sounds familiar.
All right, listeners, we have a special treat for you. We are joined by, actually, there is a new bartender at 933. This is Nick. Nick, what's your last name?
Nick Morrow.
Nick Morrow, and you're going to see in the video, Nick looks like the greatest bartender of all time.
Yes.
So far, we've
definitely dressed the part.
We've had some of his high-end Manhattans. They were awesome. And right now he's going to show us how to make a good whiskey sour.
The key to a good whiskey sour, guys, is an egg white.
An egg white.
Interesting. Yeah.
Did not see that coming.
And that's going to bring the foam to the drink.
Yes.
It's going to make it deliciously foamy. All right? The whiskey I'm using right now is Jim Beam Devil's Cut. Find that with Jim Beam Devil's Cut, it goes well with the lemon in a whiskey sour.
Sick.
All right?
So okay.
And then the next key is you have to do a dry shake. So you know how you normally see a bartender shaking his glass?
Mm-hmm.
You have to do it without ice first. When you use an egg white. That's called a dry shake. So 1.5 ounces of Jim Beam Devil's Cut, 1/2 ounce of fresh squeezed lemon juice, 1 ounce of simple syrup.
Mm-hmm. Ryan, are you getting excited?
All right.
Stoked. This is my favorite drink.
This is Ryan's favorite drink.
Totally. You're going to be the one to taste it.
I had one downstairs.
And then we crack the egg. Egg white.
Well, look at this precision.
Here we go.
So we got just the egg white.
Just the white you want. All right. There we go.
Don't let that yolk fall in there.
We got it.
Go.
There we go.
All right. That's how it's done. And then we do a dry shake first. You really want to give it a good ride. Right. You notice it gets a little drippy, a little wet behind the bar. That's okay.
What do they say? You can't make an omelet without spilling a couple.
Breaking some eggs.
Breaking some eggs. Trying to think of a better way to say it. But why reinvent the wheel?
Then you add the ice. There it is.
Good shape.
ASMR.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever use a shake weight to just make sure you stay in bartending
shape? Sometimes, yeah.
Good. Good for you. You can tell.
Ooh, right. Look at that foam.
You got a little foam on top.
Oh, it looks great.
Mm-hmm. See how that looks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ryan, we need a taste test.
Is this mine?
Oh, I'll have that if you don't want it.
I'm going to taste it and then you can have some.
Give it a taste.
All right. We can all taste and then.
It's perfect. It's perfect.
It's like the perfect whiskey sour.
Oh,
that way.
Absolutely perfect. Yeah.
Don't dump it on the board. Try it.
There's nothing fancy about it.
No, it's exactly just what you want.
It's exactly what you want when you want a whiskey sour.
You know what it is not? It is not just generic whiskey and sour mix that you've purchased at the grocery store.
Oh, that's a horrible way to make a drink.
That's why you come to a place like 933. Right. You get somebody who knows what they're doing. They're using the right ingredients, the right tactics.
Yeah.
There's care put into what you're about to drink.
I feel you're not going to Applebee's and getting a mixed drink at the bar because that's what you get. This is what you get at 933.
It's fresh squeezed lemon juice. And believe me, I have over the years concocted the proper amount of each thing. You want a half an ounce of lemon juice and you want an ounce of simple syrup. Mm-hmm. That's very important. With an ounce and a half of whatever whiskey you're using, I happen to just love Jim Beam's Devilcut.
Okay. If you had to pick, what's another good alternative that you might...
I like Rittenhouse as well for this.
Okay.
It's a little... I think Rittenhouse is a little stronger taste to it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want a little stronger whiskey taste... Go with Rittenhouse.
Yeah.
You drink that, right?
Listeners.
It's a good drink.
Listeners, get out to 933. Yeah. Come see Nick. He will make you a baller cocktail.
I appreciate that. All right.
He just made Finwall an alcoholic. Good work.
Did you taste it?
Oh, yeah.
Did you taste it? Okay.
Awesome, dude. Thank you, Nick.
And don't get the yolk in there, guys. Yep. It happens, but don't ever put the yolk in there.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, guys, we're here with Zach Finwall. He is a member of Team Delwood Disc Golf. He is a touring pro recently as of this year, so he's got some experience to tell us about what it's like to be touring fresh out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
What else? There was another thing in your sort of book of your list of credentials that we should be getting into. Remind me. Somebody remind me. Oh, you are an amazing ambassador for the sport. We've all agreed on this.
Yep.
Everybody that knows you knows you are the guy that we want other people who don't know about disc golf to see, oh, that's a disc golfer, and that's what they're like. So we're gonna talk about all that stuff when we get to the meat and potatoes. Before we get to that, this whole thing starts with Fired Up.
Fired Up.
Brought to you by Embers. Ryan, what are you fired up about?
I've got a couple things that I'm fired up about. I am going to start with Mr. Alex Seminary messaged me a couple weeks ago and said, oh, by the way, there's something coming for you. It'll take a while.
It's a ghost.
It was a thing, right?
She said.
That's what she said. And I forgot about it completely. 2 days ago on the step, I saw a little package that had not my name, but very close.
Come on. It had your
name. Tell him what it said.
It was addressed to Fanny Fancher.
Yeah.
Ah.
Of Unstable Disc Golf Gear. Mm-hmm. But I did open it up and it was a
Savage
Ultimate Seattle Cascades jersey with my name on it.
Mm.
Way badass.
I consulted with Jason and Sean before I bought it, saying should the jersey say Fanny or Fancher, and I decided if it said Fanny, you might not wear it. So
well, that was a good call because I've worn it enough that I can't wear. I was going to wear it tonight, but it's gross already.
Oh, so, you're just wearing the hell out of it.
Yeah, so I'm going to wash it.
What type of shirt is it? Is it like full sublimated jersey type?
Yeah, it's like a dry fit, but the way they do it, it's full shirt sublimation. But they do it in pieces, and then they sublimate it, and then they sew it together.
Oh.
So it's very incredible. It's great. It's same, VII.
Same. Yeah, I was going to say.
Same stuff that Delwood's getting, and the PDGA is using, you know, all the DGPT stuff. So the shirts are amazing. But the funny thing, I used to play for the Cascade.
No, I didn't.
What?
Wait. I'll tell you what my motivation for doing this, by the way, was after we got connected with the Chicago Union, their, you know, the Chicago Ultimate Frisbee team, I wanted to start going to their matches. I don't know who's going to go with me, but I know Ryan used to like Ultimate.
I
bought myself a jersey because I just wanted to support them and have it look dope.
It looks awesome.
Right. I thought if I get Ryan a Seattle jersey, maybe we can root, you know, for different teams and kind of have a rivalry thing and have somebody will watch Ultimate with me.
I can't wait.
So mostly it was a selfish endeavor. Trying to recruit you into like the new interest that I have. I want to say thank you for all the work you do for the show and everything you do for everybody.
Well, it's amazing. Yeah. I didn't expect it.
You see how he cut me off before I listed all of his credentials?
Stop doing that. But that is one thing that I'm fired up about. And as soon as I watch it tomorrow, I'm going to wear it tomorrow. And then...
Sweet. Side note, I ordered my jersey for myself first, and then I realized, I should get one for Ryan as well. So I went back and made his order afterwards. He received his. I haven't even gotten the notification that mine's been shipped yet. So he got his before.
Well, they saw my name and they were like, oh, shit.
Oh, it's Fanny.
Get that out. Yeah. So
post haste.
Yeah. So that's awesome. And then the other thing I am fired up about is Sunday morning. It's going down.
Do you have it?
Guts. So we've been slowly trudging towards D-Day, and it's getting more exciting by the minute.
Mm-hmm. Is there a challenge on the line aside from bragging rights? I mean, obviously you guys are all going to give each other a hard time, but is there some trophy
the
or there anything that you guys are like, you know, giving each other a hard time about?
There is going to be a big trophy, but other than that, no, it's just bragging rights. But it's going to be fun
as
shit.
Well, we're also playing for $3,000 towards a cause.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. Awesome.
So that's like... The thing.
Yeah.
The cause.
Yeah.
The
cause. Well, what's your cause, by the way?
New tee pads at Shanahan.
Nice.
Oh, what? You don't like slippery tee pads?
I don't care because I'm left-handed. And if you've noticed, they are diagonal and I never have a problem. But the righties always have a problem.
What are you thinking about everyone else?
It was pretty wet.
Yeah. Even when they're not wet, they're kind
of
slippery.
But the problem is because of those grooves, they have eroded to the point where they're falling apart. And so,
how many backhand shots do you throw at Shanny?
I threw quite a lot.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Were they super dry?
No. Very muddy.
They were muddy.
But I can see the issue. Yes. And I've seen people slip and fall and have a problem with them. So
yeah, either way, that course needs tee pads.
Tee
pads
and baskets
eventually.
Obviously, yeah.
You're not alone in that, by the way. The people who've been coming out to our league nights, I keep hearing everyone's buzzing about this event.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's gotten bigger than I expected, and I can't wait to see how it turns out. Ooh, yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Hey!
So, yeah, that's what I'm fired up about.
Awesome.
That's all I got.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, man. That's huge. And that's what she said. Sean, what are you fired up about?
I am fired up. So, new place equals new riding mower, right? Like, that's a rule.
Mm-hmm.
You buy a new house, you get a new riding mower.
Growing up.
They see me rolling.
I have never had a riding mower until
trying to catch Sean riding dirty.
Trying to catch me riding dirty.
So 54-inch deck. So it's a big deal. It's a zero
Not
turn.
To brag.
It's it's like three.
Oh, deck.
Push
deck.
Correct.
Okay. Go ahead. Continue.
It would be like having 3.5 push mowers side by side. That's how wide this thing cuts.
You said you have like 10 acres, right?
Five.
Well, either way. Imagine doing that shit with
more
a push
than one.
Mower.
54-inch deck, Toro Titan, zero turn. It's super sick. We will definitely have it in one of the photo drops
when
we do the post for this episode.
Awesome.
It's sick.
There is a video out there of Sheila filming you.
Yes, and laughing from inside the house.
And just laughing at herself watching. Oh, man, it's great. Maybe we'll put that up.
So first riding mower, I'm really want to know the name of the place that I got it from because they were absolutely fantastic. They were in Joliet.
Midwest something.
Smoters. It's off of Cherry Hill Road.
Okay. Midwest Smoters.
Smoters.
Smotering.
They were absolutely fantastic. Sergio, if you ever hear this, you're the best. They delivered it to the house and then he made me ride it and he says, why don't you take a few passes? And I just kind of looked at him like, man, you just want to make me look like an asshole in front of my wife. Michael Sergio. So I get on it and look like an asshole in front of my wife.
Sure, yeah.
Because zero turn ain't no joke. It's not like a steering wheel. It's like joysticks. And it took like a good hour and a half that night of me riding around my yard to figure out how to maneuver this thing. So
that's a fun toy.
But now I'm an expert since I've only done it twice, you know?
Right.
So that's how that goes.
Yeah.
Dude, that's huge.
Just completely fired up about the mower.
Man stuff.
I just bought a new mower too, actually, but it's a push mower and my yard takes like 8 minutes to mow. So
have Joey Farrell teach you how to get them lines down.
Right.
Ooh,
right.
Yeah. He's good at it.
Yes, he is.
Oh, the only other thing about my mower is that it's still in a box and I actually paid someone to cut my grass this weekend because I didn't want to go put the mower together. So I drop the money on it, and it's still in the box.
There are two kinds of people.
Yeah. Well, my plan was to have somebody cut the grass for me every other week, and I'll do it every, you know, in between. I don't have time, man. The bandwidth, it's not a hard job, but like I can't stand when it needs to get done and I'm looking at it and I know the neighbors see it and I'm like, yeah, I know it needs to get done, but it's 20th thing on my list.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. If I could just have somebody come take care of it for 20 bucks.
Right, $20-$30.
I live to cut grass.
If I had a riding mower, shit.
I did it today. I love it.
I love it. Mm-hmm. It is like my mental retreat.
Your ASMR retreat.
My ASMR.
I get it.
I love to cut grass. He's going to edit that out.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. That's enough about grass cutting. Jason.
Oh, yeah.
What are you fired up about?
I am happy to be alive because
hey, here we go.
Not to be outdone by my younger brother decided that I needed to fall off a ladder. And that's what I did. Not as high up as you. Nothing broken, but I fell off of a ladder. And I had this moment where I was like, is our family cursed? What the hell
the
is
Callahan
going
on?
While
curse?
You were still falling?
While I was, yeah,
we're
mid-fall.
Cursed. We're cursed.
Fly. And it happened. It didn't happen at my home. It happened while I was at work on Sunday. And it was like 5 minutes before I was supposed to leave. It sucked. And I'm still hurting from it.
What did you say when you
it
hit
was
the
a
ground?
Pretty good gash. I'm surprised you didn't need any kind of like.
Yeah. You guys want to see it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I got to take my pants off.
Jason is legitimately unbuttoning his
unbuttoned.
Zipping down the fly.
He is actually.
Jeans coming off.
Jeans.
Oh, okay. Whoa. Damn. Yeah. Cool.
That thing is gnarly.
He got beat up. Hold up. Let me take a photo.
Holy yeah. Shit. That's going in the album.
Wow. Okay. Cool.
Got to shave the leg.
This is the story that Maddie coached him to say so we don't find out that she's been beating you.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, get right up in there, please.
Yeah.
So you're alive. That's good.
Yeah.
So what did your family do to whom to get this curse?
I think in a past life we did something. I think we're all good people this time around, but in a past life.
In a past life, there was some Indian burial ground or something that was messed with.
Yeah. Our paternal grandfather
fell off a ladder.
James Anthony Callahan fell off a ladder, broke both of his arms.
Yeah, in our backyard.
In our backyard back in 97, 98, something like that. Yeah. It's a thing.
We're it's kind of a thing. I don't know what to say about this.
Yeah. We're a bunch of ladder faller offers. Yeah.
If that happens again and you break both your legs, don't come running to me.
Yeah.
God.
Son of a bitch.
Thank you.
I should not have laughed as hard as I did.
The only drink.
What am I missing? Why is
that you could raise.
How could you run if you had broken legs?
Don't come running
to me.
Oh, Jesus. Nice.
Manhattan is the only drink you could raise after that joke.
Yeah.
Don't come running to me.
Well done. So we got the Callahan curse in effect. I'll keep my ears to the ground for the next time one of you Callahans falls off a ladder.
Yeah. That's rough. So, like burn some sage for us or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, listeners, if you have any tips on how to break a curse, send us a DM or email us at unstablediscourse@gmail.com. Subject line, curse breaking. Why? What was the point of that?
Please,
sorry, I don't know.
Please, somebody, do that.
Zach, get us back on, get us back on track, dude. What are you fired up about?
Pull your pants down,
man. I'm most fired up, honestly, for Clash coming up around the corner.
You're the only one, I think.
I am ready to have some big names come out here and battle against the local talent and realize that the talent out here is no joke.
Ain't no joke, boy.
Yeah, it is no joke, and. Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm fired up
about. Is there
a
pro that you know is coming that you specifically want to beat?
I don't know if he's coming.
I'm sure all of them.
He is signed up, but I don't know if he is coming.
Gross, but go on.
Who that?
Brody.
Ooh. Okay.
Brody
calling
Smith.
You out, bro?
Brody Smith.
No, that'd be dope.
That'd be really cool to have him out. Just because I want to meet him and like, we've been around him. We saw him at Ledgestone.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we've
it'd be
watched
cool
him
to have
for
him come over
years and years around. Before he started playing disc golf. So, I mean, it's just.
I expected a Jagoff, and what we saw at Ledgestone was the opposite of that.
Yep. Sweetie pie.
Was that like putting on a show in front of the people or like, you know,
man,
like
if we start going down that road, it's like you do that with everybody and then you're just like assuming the worst.
What I'm saying is
for the good.
I want him here. I want him in our domain. I want to see how he acts. And I want to see
I mean,
really like.
That's always the biggest thing for me.
He's a grinder.
Is when these pros come in and realize to me, and maybe I'm wrong, but I always say this to a lot of people. Our disc golf scene to me is like a hidden gem nationally. You know, there's really heavy hitter scenes out there, you know, up in Pacific Northwest,
Michigan,
and Carolinas. Boston area, and Michigan, Carolinas. I think that we're a hidden gem, and I like when people get exposed to what we have going on. Man, that's a lot of fun to me.
Yeah.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah. Opens their eyes for sure.
Yeah.
Fired up about Clash. Fired up to beat Brody Smith if he comes. Have you played in Clash every other year so far?
I think I missed one of them.
You ever like finished near the top?
I got six last year.
An open?
Yeah.
Six. I checked, but my phone is in airplane mode.
Damn. Too bad.
Yeah, sixth or seventh maybe.
I'd love to see a local take it down. A
couple strokes behind Nico and Philo. Yeah, it would be great. That's what needs to happen.
Mm-hmm. Rooting for you, dog.
Hey, Alex.
Thanks, Ryan.
What are you fired up about?
I am fired up about our match play league that had a really nice showing on Saturday. Granted, there was rain. It went smooth. People had a good time. And I'm excited about that whole thing being underway. So that's like my little part A. And then part B is the Chicago. Actually, I don't know what we're calling this. But for now, it's called the Chicago Disc Golf Festival.
We got
the permits filed today. It's actually Tommy Ingalls. Hyde Park Disc Golf is doing all the heavy lifting. They got the permits filed for us to host a week-long disc golf festival August in Jackson Park with a temp course that'll be set up for a full week. Paul McBeth is very likely coming on Monday night of that festival to do a clinic and have a bunch of media.
Like a ribbon cutting type of deal?
Maybe? That's awesome.
Yeah, okay. Just to drive a bunch of hype and exposure mm-hmm. and get the community to see there's a crowd of people out there. What are they doing?
Right.
We're going to do a clinic and then like a sort of like fun round trying to introduce the community to it. And then we have events planned every night of the week. Wednesday night is Disc Golf 101. It's a kids night. We're going to have Circle One helping us, you know, do some kids clinics. Thursday night will be like a women's night. We're going to get Birdie Babies to help do something. Tuesday night is going to be a sort of like mini golf putting type thing. Friday night is another clinic of some, basically there's events happening every day throughout the week mm-hmm. and the course will be up all week. So people, the community gets exposed to it. And then Saturday, Sunday is a flex start tournament. So the community gets introduced to the competitive side of disc golf.
Cool. That's awesome.
And the having the permits filed for that with, I mean, that's thousands of dollars worth of permits that the Jackson Park Advisory Council just did for us. They just like,
oh, hell yeah.
They were like, yeah, we got the hookup. They got the permits filed for us. There's like millions of dollars worth of insurance liability through these permits. So we're going to have to start wrangling volunteers and getting vendors involved.
So you're going to have Sean and Jason on ladders holding banners?
Yeah. You know, ideally.
We'll do it.
Yeah.
I ain't afraid of falling.
So, yeah, we got a lot of good stuff happening with the Disc Golf Festival. It's a lot to take on, but that is the path to getting a permanent course in that area. There's some very high ranking people in the Chicago Park District that are going to be there to check this out and give us the go ahead to putting a course out there. So this is the first big project in that mission. And it's crazy to me because we've been working, I quote unquote been working on bringing a course to Chicago now for a couple of years, but really all I've been doing is hosting little events and trying to build a network and sort of an audience and hopefully bring the right people together so mm-hmm. that when the opportunity arose, there was a network of people that could help get shit done. And it's just
that happened.
It just happened.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's nuts. Mm. And everybody that's been helping is just taking on a lot of work and doing awesome stuff. Disc Golf Chicago will be an official nonprofit in like 3 or 4 weeks from today. I'm very fired up about all this. It's a little humbling, to be honest. And I don't want to say overwhelming, but it's almost overwhelming. It's like, it's crazy. Jackson Park is a historic park in Chicago. That's where the first World's Fair was. So
nice.
There could not have been a cooler place for the first course in Chicago to go.
Sick.
Yeah, that's awesome. City. Thank you.
I'm trying to get a disc golf scene in Chicago. When you look at J-Town, it's like, dude, look at what they've been building over the last 20 years or whatever, 30 years even. This could be the little baby steps of like a rival to that scene. Maybe down the line. Like that's
I hope so.
Yeah, in like 40 years when you get caught up. But yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And
time travel.
Let's figure out who won the trivia challenge of the week episode. Jason, who won the trivia challenge?
I loved this one because it had photos of the cars.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And the guesses were like just a picture of each one of us in each one of those cars. Yeah. Was really funny to me.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty great. I liked the way that shook out. So first, let's talk about whose car was in what position in the picture, right? Mm-hmm. So I was on top. Obviously. I had the Trans Am.
I mean, you were blurred out, but you could see those legs.
Yeah.
They
were
Jason's legs.
Clear. What year was that Trans Am? I don't remember.
What year 90? Was the car? I got it in 95. I want to say it was like a 90, 89, 90, somewhere around there. But it was like a hybrid. It was a Trans Am with
batteries,
mostly Firebird parts or the other way around. Because it was
Sexton or...
Yeah.
Sexton Firebird.
Yeah. It was gifted to me on my 16th birthday. It was my golden birthday. I was born June 16th. So my golden birthday, my mom and stepdad got me that car.
Nice.
They must have really liked you.
They did. Yeah. Yeah. I think they still do. It was a death trap, unfortunately. I mentioned it earlier. It stalled on me so often. I should have died many times. It had T-tops that leaked every time it rained. So I had napkins shoved into the up into the top of it. Because I was a 16-year-old kid. I was too broke to deal with it. Yeah. All I cared about was having a cool CD player. That was it.
I can just imagine the first thing I did was you know, Sean got looking at his CD older player. Brother's car, like that's the coolest thing in the world.
Right.
So I was on top. On the left was Sean.
Yep.
What was your car?
1986 Chrysler LeBaron GTS, I think.
T-tops?
No T-tops. No leaky T-tops.
I don't know if they offered T-tops in the LeBaron. Yeah. Not that year.
The right, not that year. Yeah. The right picture was Alex's car.
I think it's a 96 Mercury Tracer, or maybe 97.
Okay. It was like a Ford Taurus Mercury Tracer. Yeah, same car.
The exact same car.
Yeah.
My grandmother gave that car to me, and it was named Goldie.
Oh, nice.
Goldie. But that's about all I can really tell you about that car.
Sure. And then the bottom was Mr. Ryan Fancher.
The purple rocket, the purple Grand Am. It was a 1995.
Nice.
And it was the only non-Volkswagen car I've ever owned. After that, I've purchased Volkswagens.
Exclusively.
Exclusively. Yeah. But
that had to have been like a brand new car to
95?
Almost, right?
No, I didn't actually have my own vehicle until I was in college. So it wasn't that new at that point. But I remember taking that car to drive on fall break with my now wife, who is my girlfriend Teresa, and our friend Derek, who I've mentioned on this podcast. We went to Toronto and we went to Niagara Falls and we went to all these places in like 4 days. I don't know what we were thinking. And stayed in a hostel and it got broke into and our CD player was stolen. And then we were in Toronto and we were in a parking lot and the car died and it would not start and we couldn't figure it out. And I kicked one of the side panels off the car because I was so mad. And then we realized it was just the battery terminal was a little dirty and we tightened it up and we're on our way. But after that trip, I was like, nah, I'm good. That
happened to me before.
I'm good. So it was a fine car. It would have gotten me anywhere I wanted, but it was just not my thing.
Nice.
But that was it.
Well, the person who figured it out and did it first was Mr. Mike Makarski.
Yeah.
Not too long after we posted. Yeah.
So what is Mike going
to
win?
That's a great question, Alex. He is going to win Perfect Putt 360, which is a putting practice app designed to mimic tournament type pressure in a game that makes putting practice fun. You can download Perfect Putt 360 today on the App Store and Google Play. Wait for it.
Hashtag
every putt counts. Now it's time for the Calahalander Rundown.
Oh my God, ready?
Brought to you unofficially by DiscGolfScene.com.
Come on,
Pete. All righty, y'all. Calahalander Spring Edition 3.0-ish. We're getting to the too close to summer to call this Spring Edition. Greater Joliet Tour Series Tournament Director Team Challenge is happening, baby.
Will have already happened.
Ryan mentioned it earlier, and the teams were drafted, and it was a blast over at Nick and Ivy Brewing.
And those teams. No surprise, Team Fancher won. So what are you going to do about it?
Easy. The event is this Sunday, May 23rd, and it's going to be lit. Mm-hmm. Super excited to bring this event home from those of you that don't know. Went up to Sandy Point a couple years back. I'm sure we've mentioned this, but I'm going to mention it again.
Mm-hmm.
The Sandy Point Team Invitational, and this is the exact same format, just kind of crunched together in a 1 day. So thanks, Mike Cousins, for having that format and letting us use it. Workforce Brewing Open 3 at Homer Glen. That went live on 4:30. Event is on May 29th and 30th. Mm-hmm. There are still spots available in MPO, MA1, FA1, FA2, FA3, FA4, and MA40. So go on to discgolfscene.com. Come on, Pete, and get registered for Workforce Brewing Open 3.
Which will probably be tomorrow.
Correct.
Yep.
Yes, it will be.
Yep.
Time travel.
Yep.
Future.
New information for Clash at the Canyons 5. The M weekend, June 18th, player party was originally going to be here at Embers won't be able to happen. So we are going to do something, I think, a little bit more fun over at Trinity Links.
A little more laid back, for sure.
A little more laid back.
Yeah.
We'll get some beers over there. And I think we will do the Accuracy League, which I'm excited about. And maybe I will even attempt to do, because I have not done it yet.
Me neither.
On Friday night, June 18th. To give away player packs, and then we can do accuracy, have a keg, and have a bunch of fun. So that'll be...
Do we have permission?
We do, actually. Yes, I spoke with the Thor and the Doc, and
thanks,
we've got all of the permissions.
Yeah.
Clash of the Canyons 5 DGPT Silver Series, presented by Discmania. This event is full. Get signed up for the spectator passes, please.
Yes.
The packages are as follows. $10, just a measly $10 will get you into the event, spectating all weekend long. Mm-hmm. That's very cheap for a great weekend and a great time. The $30 spectator pass is sold out. You can't get that one. The $55 spectator pass includes a fanny pack, a disc, a shirt, and a very cool... What is the material of the koozie? It's not just a koozie. It's like an insulated koozie.
No,
the
it
koozie.
Is...
It's
like
a... I need a fanny pack.
It is like a water bottle type insulated cooler, but the top is open so that you can
put
a
the
can
in
and then
put
then
the top back on.
Correct.
Those are so cool.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh, that's awesome.
I mean, and it's only $55, so you're getting like
for everything
$125 worth of cool shit.
Mm-hmm.
Those $55 spectator passes were limited to only 50. There's maybe like 25 less, so hop on that.
Mm.
$75 spectator pass includes fanny pack, disc, shirt, koozie, hat, and limited disc golf pin. From discgolfpins.com. Come on, Nina.
Come on, Nina.
Those were limited to 100, and I think that there are like maybe like 65, 70 left, and those are going to go quickly the closer we get to the event.
Yeah.
We've been pumping it out and getting you guys to sign up, and they are going quick.
You're going to want them.
You're going to want them, so hop on it at discgolfscene.com.
Come on.
Come on,
Pete. And that is your Callahalander rundown.
Boom.
Damn. So much going on.
That was thorough. Yeah.
You're getting surgical with these, by the way. You're hitting all the points. You're getting straight through.
He's a good man. I'm thorough.
I do my notes. I use my notes on my phone.
It's a nice.
Fanny pack have your face on it.
That's the question.
I would really like the fanny pack to have your face on it.
I would love that.
Even
you
if it's like small. It doesn't need to be big.
You suggested having him wearing the Clash helmet.
Yeah.
That's
Ryan's my face God. With the Clash helmet. Like,
that would have been
perfect.
The best.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Come on, Ryan.
Come on.
Come on.
Sean? We'll see.
Come on, Kurt.
TBD.
TBD on the fanny.
TDB.
All right, I'll take it.
All right, that's a wrap on the Callahalander rundown, and that moves us along to the local round. Ryan, you're going to shout somebody
he's
out.
He's not even letting Sean do the ASMR shit.
Local route.
Okay.
Ryan.
My local route is my tournament director team challenge team. Team Red, Team Fancher. Everybody
the guys
on that team.
Take third.
I will not tell you to what extent, but we have been talking. We have become fully prepared, and I am stoked at how well and how cohesive the team has become in the last couple days. And so there's no doubt in my mind at this point.
Did you see Doc's video?
From 1974? Yes, I did.
Shots fired.
I did see the video.
Gotcha, Doc.
My idea was actually to put together a video similar to that, but time is just not allowing it. And it doesn't matter. It's not going to matter anyway, because you're all fighting for second place. And that's all there is to it. So shout out to my team, Miss Michelle Lopez, Miss Sam Deluski, Amy Leskowski, Frank Luce, Bruce Churches, Joe Lozano, Pete Wilson, Kevin Welsh, Bill Beninato, Ryan Morton, Dan Blazer, Brad Stambolik, Anthony Guzzo, Nick Leonard, Mike Albertini, Greg Frazier, Kyle Greenfield, Quentin Thorson, Joe Moore, Pat Lyons.
Ooh, Joe Moore's injured.
David Pena, Michael Plant, Carlos Saldivar, and Brad Arnold.
Dude, that's a squad.
That's a squad, dude.
It's a squad. I'm so stoked at how it turned out. And,
we all have squads.
Dude,
that's true.
It's
so
very
I was going to say,
what's
it's
really
be
funny
close.
Is we talked to at length about having what we were going to call the steal. And how we were going to do the steal. And at the end, we were trying to figure out a way to make it fair. So we were going to average everybody's team out by rating. And the lowest rating got to steal from the other team first and like exchange players and do all this crazy trading.
Oh, yeah.
But at the end of the night, we all looked at each other and we're like, No, no, man. Our teams are stacked.
Yeah, we were all happy with our teams.
The team is amazing, and we've been strategizing a bit. It's
Ryan Morton is a sleeper. I definitely wanted to scoop Ryan Morton.
Oh, I was stoked on that one. You got a good scoop on that one.
Mm-hmm. You got. I mean,
do you have a team chant or a dance, or is there anything that will unite like a like the New Zealand haka? The rugby team.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
No, I'm not gonna say.
Time will tell.
Yeah, time will tell. So that's what I am fired up about. Can't wait.
Local route.
That's what I am local routed about.
Fired up about local route. I was like, wait, we're doing that again.
Fired up for the local route.
That's what I am local routed about.
Local routed about.
Yeah,
Sean.
Yes,
what are you local routed about?
I am local routed about Mr. Randy Moore Senior.
Oh, I know him.
Good one.
He announced that he is retiring from helping out at Eagle Ridge. He is quoted to say on his Facebook post, I'm going to read this real quick.
Oh,
loved it.
Because of my declining health and the retirement of Mike Fee, who I'm guessing was a Park District employee. I'm not 100% there. I think that's the case.
Yeah.
I will no longer be out at Eagle Ridge Park working on the course, helping with trimming and weed whacking. Course is there waiting for someone to make it great. You can make it as nice as you want it. Just do it. Eagle Ridge has done more for me than I did for it. It's a lifesaver. Hopefully the club can maintain its beauty. Peace. When I saw that post, I don't have like a very close relationship with Senior, but we know each other and we always are gassing each other up. The best sentence in that post was three words, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people think that it's harder than that, and it isn't. All you have to do is just want to go and do it and then go and do it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're going to be met with a, hey, who are you? What are you doing out here? But then when you explain yourself, or the best way to do it, get linked up with the park district first before you start going doing stuff and say, hey, this is who I am. I know all these other people that are already doing it, and I want to help out and give back a little bit. Mm-hmm. So to have known Randy in the time that he committed himself out to that course, that's pretty cool. It's inspiring to see other people doing that. He inspires me, has inspired me. And congratulations, Randy Moore Sr., on all of the years and all of the things that you have done out at Eagle Ridge to make it one fine place.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
His outlook on everything is just, I mean,
amazing.
You can tell when he's not having the best round and he'll tell you, but he'll do it with like a chuckle. You know, it's like the outlook that man has on life and disc golf is just phenomenal. So somebody try and fill those shoes.
Yes.
I dare
please.
You.
It's really
hard.
Right.
Please do it. Yeah.
Tyler Lisek, looking at you.
It's
got him.
One of those, don't like you were saying, don't worry about getting it right. Just get it done. Just dive in. Start figuring it out. Do what dive you can. In. You'll figure things out along the
it's
way.
It's like buying a zero-turn mower. Just buy it and learn how to do it.
Yeah, right. This Sean is your Sergio telling you,
yes.
Get on the mower and let me see, take a couple passes. Let's go.
And make a couple passes.
Yeah.
Sergio.
Before I knew who Senior was and I went to my first, like he was at my first tournament, which was Anna Page, I'm pretty sure. He just had an aura. That's an important dude in this scene. Mm-hmm. You could tell the way
he's like Raiden.
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
Dude, 100%.
He's Raiden.
And the way people acted around him, he has a presence.
Yeah.
And from that, every time I saw him moving forward, he's just like taking care of people, giving people advice. Everybody seems to respect him. Like, same as you, I don't have a real relationship, but I know him by reputation and by presence. And yep, I saw definitely. That post and yeah, I knew there was a moment there. For
definitely
sure.
hit
yeah.
you in the feels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's a great shout out.
You definitely local routed it.
Local routed it.
You routed senior. That one.
To the senior.
Pretty locally.
Yeah.
Jason.
Yo.
Who are you going to shout out today?
I do have a shout out.
You didn't. And then you did.
And then I did. That's right. Did you guys mean Raiden, like the Mortal Kombat character?
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay. All right, good.
Do you know another Raiden?
I thought it was just somebody in the scene.
Yeah, no, Raiden.
Mortal Kombat. There's like a dude we know whose nickname is Raiden.
His nickname is Raiden.
Right, yeah. Okay, no.
Yeah. Well, that would be a cool nickname.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm going to stop you.
Yeah, sure.
Because I feel like you're most likely to be more excited about this than anyone else. Did anybody watch the Mortal Kombat movie?
No, not yet.
No.
Nope. Guys. All right.
Is fine. It good?
Was the first Mortal Kombat movie good?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
It was exactly what you wanted, though. When you were that age, you were
right.
Like,
right.
It was the coolest thing.
Yeah.
The new Mortal Kombat is the same thing for an adult.
Okay.
It's awesome.
Sick.
Right, don't go in expecting there to be a plot or anything significant, but just like, oh, shit. Oh, shit.
I remember that.
All the references. It's, it's fun. Yeah.
Get over here.
Yeah.
My local route shout out is Mr. Ryan Stilson.
Hey.
Hey, we know that boy.
Ryan. Yeah.
He did a great thing. I am getting so many friend requests from people that I don't know on Facebook. Mm. And it just absolutely warms my heart to where I'll know the name, obviously, because it's always people that you guys talk about.
Sure.
And I, you know, you guys think I'm not paying attention, but I'm always paying attention. And I hear these names that you guys say, and then like down like the Raiden. Line.
Right.
Like Rick Raiden. I can't wait to get a friend request from him.
Yeah.
But I'll get friend requests from people, and I'm like, oh, they're just friend requesting me because they're fans of the podcast, and that just means so much to me. Just that simple thing of just following me on Facebook because you like the podcast. And so that's what Ryan did, and then immediately sent me a message telling me about this band that he thought that he had learned about because of me. And he was like, dude, that band you were telling me about, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, sorry, bro, it wasn't me that told you about this band, but I looked into them, and it's all I've been listening to ever since him and I had that message exchange. So,
nice. What's that band?
They're called the Floozies.
The Floozies.
And what's that tune you've been bumping?
Yeah, Better For You has been my feel-good jam for about a week and a half now.
Funky.
What kind of music is it?
It is of a genre of its own. It is literally funk meets jamming. EDM.
Okay.
It's so bizarre. It's almost you can't classify it because the songs have such a tonal change throughout the song that you don't see coming. I'm gonna sidebar. One of my favorite bands is a band that Sean introduced me to called Everything Everything. They're out of the UK.
Yep.
I don't know where, but they're out of the UK. And the way you explained why you like their music is you said it was completely unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is, as I've been listening to music since I was 14 is when I got my first CD and really became somebody obsessed with music. So that's what I look for in music, is like that level of unpredictability. You've heard so many songs that even the first time you hear something, you know what the chorus is going to sound like just from the way it started.
Formulaic,
right? And I like bands that aren't formulaic, and that's what the Floozies are. In a 4-minute song, it has so many tone changes that you never see coming. And it's just like, every time you listen, it's something new.
Hmm.
It's pretty great.
Sweet.
Highly recommend. Thanks, Ryan Stilson.
Yeah, add that to the list of reasons why we should shout out Ryan Stilson.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's absolutely so supportive and fun and cool.
Mids boy.
Mids
boy. He is a mids boy.
What does a mids boy mean? Is that a weed reference?
Yes, it is.
Ouch.
I think
leave it unexplained.
We love you, Ryan.
I think Garb started that.
Probably.
Let that be part of the lore. We don't need to get into any more. What is Mids Boy? That's fine. Mm-hmm. Great shout out. He was due. Has Ryan ever been shouted out before?
I don't think so.
We definitely talked about him.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, he gets brought up.
Oh, we talk about him all the time.
He gets in the mailbag every episode.
Yeah,
he does.
Like almost
every
episode.
He does. Yeah,
he's just. It's usually about food too.
He is super supportive. All right. Finny, you got a local route?
My local route shout out is going to be Ian Burchett.
I know him.
Yes.
Me and Ian always haven't been close friends, but we've definitely grown closer to each other the last 6 to 10 months, I'd say. Some things happened in his life, and he took a risk and went out on the road with Gavin. And I think last weekend or 2 weekends ago, he qualified for USDGC.
Damn, son.
Outstanding.
So, super happy and proud of him for that. I mean, that's just amazing, you know.
Take the leap of faith.
I mean, that's what obviously pro players are out there to win and do this and that, but in the back of all their minds is, I need to be at USDGC at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So,
I mean, I don't want to make a big deal out of this, but I feel like part of that is because I was technically his support crew for the Las Vegas Challenge.
That's correct. That is correct.
And I feel like that catapulted him into a mindset that made him who he is today. So,
the littlest things can, man, just to have somebody behind you that you might not be that close.
I didn't see him one time that weekend or since. Oh my God. But I feel like I had something to do with it. So, I'm going to take credit for it.
It here, folks. Ian Burchett would be nothing without Ryan Fancher.
You don't know how many times I hear that, but go ahead.
So yeah, man, super proud of him for that. That's just awesome. Yeah. First year out there, already going to USDGC, and half the season's not even over. So.
And he's been playing really well.
Yeah, he played well and then kind of slowed down a little bit and then found a rhythm again. Yeah. And that's when it happened.
He's been on a bunch of video replays and all sorts of shit all over the internet. It's great to see.
So. Yeah. It's definitely awesome.
Hell yeah. Is he local?
He is from Oswego, I believe, by Gavin. So,
speaking of Randy Moore, Gavin and Ian and Those have been little baby birds under
definitely.
Eagle wings for
and
many years.
What's the other guy's name?
Ryan Stilson, too. There's
Christy and
there.
Blaine?
Yes.
Blaine.
Yes.
Those guys.
Christy and Blaine.
I know Christy them Blaine, from yep. Gavin and Ian a lot. So, yeah, that's my local route shout out.
That was a route well localed.
Well localed.
All the way around the table. Did you go yet, Alex?
No.
Oh.
Hey, Alex.
I'm just shaking my head.
Who's your local route shout out?
My local route shout out. First, quickly, there have been people coming out to our events recently that have been making donations in the form of CTPs or just, hey, here's a bag of discs for when you guys start doing the festival and you have more stuff to give up to give out. So I want to shout out Bruce Churches, who's been super helpful every time he comes out.
Great guy.
Supporting
Team Red.
You know, he's buying all the stuff that's helping to support us. You know, the pins, the shirt, the tag. He donated a grocery bag full of discs the other week, and he said, "I don't want credit for this. Don't shout me out. Sorry, Bruce."
Too late.
Specifically, did what he told you not to do.
Had he stolen it from Amy Laskowski?
Hey,
he donated
that was her
the discs
purse
in Amy's purse.
Right. Yeah.
And then, aside from that, I want to shout out Chris Robbins, who came out to his first event for us and donated a disc, a CTP. Mike Smith has been coming out a lot, super supportive,
cool.
And donating
awesome guy too.
Donating CTPs and always asks, how can he help? I love everybody that offers that stuff because when you're swarmed by a bunch of people, and especially people who don't know what it's like to run an event, and you're trying to like organize things and you have a bunch of people just trying to chit-chat with you. And I love everybody that comes out, but the people who ask, how can I help and take some of this off your plate? Beautiful. I love you all. Thank you so much. And last person I want to shout out is Devin Hernandez, who's been super helpful since last year. Always offers to run out lights when we're doing Glow. And he did something that would probably will make Jason cry, probably.
Okay.
Lauren Lakeberg.
Go on.
Lauren Lakeberg came out a couple weeks ago and took some really great photos of us while the sun was setting. It's perfect for our Sunset Dubs event.
Sure. Mm.
And he took one of those photos that, for me, has become iconic. And he did a Glow dye with like the silhouettes from that picture.
Okay.
If I turn the lights out and showed you what this looked like, it's one of the most sexy looking glow discs.
You can do
I've
that
ever
right
seen.
Now. You can turn around and shut off all the lights.
Hold on.
Okay. Let's try it.
Oh, what can I do?
No. It needs a UV light. You can't really see it.
It's starting to glow though.
Yeah, but the point is, you know, he made this very specifically for me, and he wrote, "Alex, you are the GOAT, Devin." And it just, I love it so much because it comes from so much love. That dude is full of love. I don't know if you know Devin Hernandez, but I played with him on the card this night. He's in this photo with me. I've never played with a more supportive player. Yeah. Even when I threw the worst shot or binked a 10-foot putt, he was like, "Bro, like, you got this." And just like, almost to a point where I felt like a kid because he was like really trying to make me feel good and better. But I love him for that. And I think everybody that plays on this card gets that same treatment. He's the kind of person that I think helps to make the scene great, especially because we're a very beginner focused organization and people get nervous about coming out to play when they're brand new. And to have somebody like that building you up the whole time, it's huge. So shout out to you, Devin.
Those are also great guys to have at leagues when you know that you have new players and you could put the new players with guys like Devin.
Definitely. Yeah.
That is my favorite part of when, you know, really solid guys come out to leagues and I'm like, you know what? New guys, go be with that. And you're going to have a great experience and you're going to come out again and you're going to be hooked into disc golf. So
Devin is not the only guy that does this, but I mean, he's been very pronounced about it lately. I really appreciate everybody that works to make sure beginners have a good time and that's growing the sport. So thank you all.
Hell yeah.
Awesome.
All right. So that is a wrap on the local route. And that means it's almost time for the heart of this episode. But first, let's say a few nice things about our sponsors. Mainly, Ayo. Ayo, the mortgage pro. That's Andy O'Day, the mortgage pro. He is a mortgage loan officer who is a longtime, like lifelong disc golfer who will help you get the best rate on buying a new home or refinancing your home. If you need some extra room in your budget so you can get into more tournaments or pick up some new discs, refinance. The rates are better than they've ever been. So
look at those low rates.
He can help you make that happen. And he's very, very easy to talk to. He's on all the social media channels. You can find him on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. And my favorite thing that he does is he will get you a $500 discount on your home inspection if you mention Unstable Discourse.
Huge.
But a doubt.
Huge.
Yeah. But a doubt.
Super generous. He is happy to meet with you on the course. If you have questions, he will play around with you. And yeah, if you have questions, he will just consult you for free. Buying a home does not need to be a scary or challenging thing. He will help you get there and get you on that path to building wealth. So thank you for sponsoring the show, AO the Mortgage Pro. You guys hit him up if you have questions.
Do
he
it.
Will get you taken care of.
Do it.
All righty, listeners. It's time to get into the heart of this episode. The meat and potatoes, if you will.
The Captain and Tennille.
Oh, that's a good one.
You had that
one. You've been holding out of that for two weeks.
Long time. Felt good.
Anybody else got one?
Tennille. The Nick and Ivy.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Relevant. That's a good one. It's time for the meat and potatoes from the windows to the fin wall.
Skeet, skeet, skeet.
Hey, hey.
Oh, skeet, skeet, skeet. All right, Zach, you are beloved in the community. I knew that before I really knew who you were, just from the way people talk to you, the way that the way I saw people interacting with you and the little brief interactions that we had, you know, at events. I was like, okay, he's a cool guy. People seem to like him. People seem to respect him. Now you're a touring pro. You're on Team Delwood Disc Golf, and everybody agrees you are a great ambassador for the sport. Mm-hmm. So the obvious question is, how did you get into disc golf?
God damn it.
But we got to know. We got to have the origin story. A quick 3-minute origin story from Zach Finwall.
All right. Man, honestly, I was hanging out with a few friends, went and met with a few of their friends in Joliet. We're sitting around, and they had some Frisbees in their garage. So we asked what they were about. And about 35 minutes later, we were at West Park.
So they were like, did you ask about disc golf? Because we can go disc golf right now.
Pretty much. So went and played around at West Park, got through that, and probably took about 2 years off, maybe. In 2016, kept in touch with Dave Barkus. About 3 months went by, finally got an invite out to play. I met up with him and a bunch of other people at the Oaks. I walk up with 2 Frisbees in my hand, and all these guys have bags, carts, everything.
Wait. I got to stop you because you mentioned before that the very first time out you played West Park.
I got an ace on 23 aced, at West Park.
You aced on your very first
round. First day with a yellow DX Destroyer with a red stamp.
I love that hole.
God, I miss that.
And dude, went to play a second round and lost it on hole 2 in the water.
Wow. And then from there, where does the next phase of your introduction to the sport go?
Really, it was just a few casual rounds, maybe once to twice a year, if that. And then, I met up with Dave Barkus and all them at the Oaks. And 2 Frisbees in hand, they all had bags and carts. First shot I watch is Rooney throw a forehand on hole 1, dead center chains.
Rune dog.
Comes right out of the basket, and I'm just like, holy shit, like, these guys are good.
You didn't realize what it could be.
Yeah, so... Yeah. I play a dubs round with him. I think me and Dan Wattman shoot a couple down. And after that, I went and played my first leagues round at Basket Cases, shot under par there. And after that, it was pretty much
You were
history.
Good right out of the gate then.
I think my first round at Ole, I shot maybe like a 4 down.
Playing awesome. Threes?
Yes, all threes.
Is anybody else suspicious?
No, I've seen him play.
I had like tag 45. I was stoked.
I was the happiest. Good, but that's a crazy story.
This is what we see now. This is the age of disc golf where kids that are athletic and just don't know in what direction to go.
Right.
They're jumping into a sport and some of them pick disc golf and they get it right away.
Right.
There's no hesitation. It's throwing a destroyer 420 feet.
Yep.
Just out of the gate because they don't know any better. They don't overthink it. Yeah. They're just out. Good. Like, they've got the timing. They've got the skills. They've got the understanding of how to move their body and work their body. They just don't know how to apply it.
The evidence of that is that your first ace was a flick Annie with a destroyer.
With a DX destroyer.
So like super for flippy. A lot of players, that's not something you learn how to do until you've been playing for a while. Mm. For you, first round, natural. That's
From a baseball background, I mean, the forehand, I threw off the tee forehand. My upshots were forehand. I putted from 32 feet forehand. Like, everything was forehand until, like, 2016. I figured out I could backhand.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. You found out quick. It took me, like, 10 years from Batman.
I'm still figuring it out. Yeah. But go ahead.
So then after that, I kind of met Joe Moore and Corey Raines, and those guys were three rounds a day. You'd meet up with them at 8 a.m. and we'd be play until 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock at night. And that's what made me just want to get better, watching Corey Raines throw 400-foot forehands like nothing with his bosses, just meh, gone. And that's what made me want to get better, just be able to throw like them guys and keep up with them.
What was your first tournament? Do you remember?
Indiana States, I think, in late 2016. I think I took fifth in rec.
That's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. The Indiana scene and our scene, super, like the rec players, on a good day, they're playing just as as intermediate, not like
definitely
low end of advanced.
Definitely.
Were you getting guidance or like structure, like instruction from anybody?
I don't think it was until middle of 2017 I found one of Lefty Al's discs at Evergreen Park, returned it to him, and that was like my introduction kind of to J-Town. So then,
that's a great
what
way.
A bummer.
I mean, Al was pretty much
shout out to Al.
He taught me how to play, like, he showed me the ropes after, you know, it was just me playing and casually playing out there to have fun. I didn't think I was gonna be playing for money in 3 or 4 years. I didn't even know there was tournaments in disc golf.
Right.
6 months before this, you know what I mean?
Right.
We give Al a lot of shit, but he has done that with a lot of people, and it's awesome to hear that he was part of your journey and getting better.
It was all because I found his disc. I probably wouldn't have had the balls to walk up to him and be like, "Yo, you want to play around? Yo,
right."
We see the loud, crazy
newcomer coming in.
We see the Raz and Al, and you know, like before and after tournaments, but when he's in tournament mode, there's nobody better.
Right.
And man,
dude might just say what's on his mind, but he's got a heart.
I envision him
puts
when
it
I
down
putt.
For sure.
Oh, absolutely. Every single time.
I want to putt like Al.
I wish to be like Al. Yep.
Yeah.
So then it was pretty much, that was my introduction to J-Town, and pretty much Al was my teacher for 2-3 years.
Your,
and
Mr.
it just
Miyagi?
Came. Yeah, right.
How did you get hooked up with Sean and Delwood and Team Delwood?
Man, we were just talking about this. Honestly, I have no idea.
I don't really remember. I just remember him, like, he was on the radar.
I talked to Matt Travis about this before any of it happened. Me and Matt Travis had a really good talk, and he's like, you know, walk into the shop and, you know, ask him what he wants for his team. And if you don't have that, figure out how you can do that. And if you have that, then he'll see that and he'll put you on the team.
That's great advice.
And I was there. He walked in and he slapped 10 grand, boom, right on the counter and said, I'm on the team, right? And that's the way it went.
Bitch.
So I asked him what he wanted and what he's looking for the team. And he was just like, he didn't really tell me a lot that he was looking for. He just said, once we expand, I'll make room and we'll figure something out. And I think maybe 7 months later, he messaged me and said, hey, we finally have room. You want to join?
Turn.
And I couldn't pass up the opportunity, and it's pretty much history since then.
Room was created because either somebody left, right? Or did you just expand the team?
I think it was just expansion of the team.
Just expanding on the team. Yeah, okay. Putting in more effort to it and knowing kind of who the standout players were. I mean, there is no rhyme or reason to who I'm choosing for the team, but I know when the feeling is right with the people that are on it.
So the vibe of the person is, it sounds like that's arguably more important than how they
absolutely
play.
So much more important. I like Zach Finwall as a human being.
I pretty much told Sean that if you don't put me on the team, I'm going to be representing your brand out there anyway. So
And I remember probably responding with something like, that's why you're here.
That's why I want you on the team.
That was pretty much, that was how I put it to him, I'm pretty sure.
That's great. Just going to get it done and do your thing. And Sean is all about that. Yep. Everybody knows that. Yep. For listeners who don't know, what does it really mean to be Team Delwood? I've never heard you talk about this, so I'm personally curious.
Well, I've never really talked about it because I've never really been asked that question.
They meet daily at 5:30 a.m. at the shop.
Correct. We have our meeting. We have coffee. No. you know, I just like to show support to the people that I know are equally supporting what I'm trying to grow out of that little room every day. That's it. Like, it's not more complex than that. I just want to support all the people, guys like Zach, guys like Brian, guys like Gavin, and all the other people on the team. There's so many. I literally have to go, okay, wait, there's 13 in it. Just awesome human beings that are out there doing their version of what I'm doing. And I've got nothing but love for that grind and that just go get them attitude. Mm-hmm. And it's not much more complex than that.
People who follow their blue goo, as you put it.
Absolutely. The blue ooze.
Blue ooze.
The blue ooze. That's
follow that blue ooze. It's coming out of your chest and it will lead you to victory.
That's beautiful. I think there's a lot of players out there who may not see themselves as the most competitive guy or the best thrower, but have a chance to be a part of something bigger than themselves because they have their heart in the right place.
Yeah, sponsorship definitely isn't all about skill.
Yeah, you're garbage, but you're
cool. No, nowadays a lot of people are looking for what's underneath and if you have a social media following and how many times you post a week, this and that.
Are you pretty active on social?
I am. I was a lot more. I've been kind of getting back into it now, but it's slowly becoming like into my routine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's I think inevitable at this stage in the sport that you need to have some presence.
Definitely.
And even, I guess, even if it's not regular posting and you know, very strategic, there's at least a level of the quality of what you're putting out and sort of the energy of what you're putting out. So it's got to be manicured or what's, is that the right word?
Yeah, kind of.
It's got to be sort of manicured. Beyond Delwood Disc Golf, do you have any affiliation to any other teams or brands?
Yeah, small teams. I mean, obviously, I'm on Team Link with Mikey Z, great guy, super supportive. And I'm with Canna Pros Box with Danny and Alex, which they have my back fully, no matter like what I want. If I have any ideas.
Canna Pros is like great everywhere.
Like we have big plans. You know, I put him and Gavin in touch, and we have big plans in the future to try to get certain players pushed out more because he kind of had so much in such a little space, and it's like you're everybody's selling to the same crowd. So I kind of pitched him an idea to kind of spread it out so then more people can get in, and it kind of brings in more sales for them
at
the same time. So hopefully that'll be in the works in the next couple months. So yeah, I mean, those are my three: Delwood, Link, and Canna Pros.
Right on. And you and I are going to do some video stuff at some point.
Definitely, hopefully.
I'm not a pro video person, but I enjoy doing it. And if I can help people that I like and who I think are doing good things create cool stuff,
right?
All about that. So we'll make it happen at some
definitely.
Point.
Definitely.
Yep.
I do see your posts all the time, and I do want to say I like that you post your accolades and you celebrate those shots that you have, but you also mention what you need to work on, and you also mention those things that you've missed, and it's great to see, like, you know, you get what is it, the compliment sandwich. You tend to do that, and I don't know if you do it on purpose. It seems pretty natural to me, and it's great to see because we can see, you know, how good you're getting, but we also see that you are working your ass off,
right?
And you know what you need to work on, and that's pretty impressive.
I mean, it's kind of like how me and you talked before with my round last week at Shanahan. It's like I'm kind of working on how I want to put that in on social media,
sure,
in a sense, you know, because it's like, yeah, I'm gonna add how I mean, I've always been the type to kind of highlight where I've
Michael.
Michael,
that just fuels me more to fix that and then be better next time. Yeah. Just like my attitude last week.
It's the only way you can do it.
It was terrible and embarrassing, but now next week, this weekend coming up, I want it to be totally different. I'm going to completely, that can never happen again. You know what I mean? So well, I always like keeping that vocal.
What happened? Now I need to know, and now we need to talk about it and have like men's.
We had a rough round at Shanny.
Okay, what happened?
I mean, I was playing super well, threw the disc where I wanted to, put my putter where I wanted to in the basket, and they just didn't catch. And after maybe the seventh or eighth one, I threw a perfect putt. Michael Johansson'd it, looked down, grabbed my mini, and then all I heard was plop.
Yeah.
And I completely lost it.
Yeah. And so I'm going to say, he probably doesn't want to hear this, but half of those are shanty baskets.
Oh, yeah,
and that
for sure.
Sucks. Yeah. But the other half were probably something that you were doing.
And that's one thing I just need to work on. And it's,
you can't shoot yourself in the foot over all of them, but
I mean, you can't shoot yourself in the foot over things you can't control.
Right.
If you're putting the disc where you want to and it's not working for you, that's you try to fix it. You try to take some off your putt or add some. You're going to be left, right, spraying. You know what I mean? You got to stick to what you thousands of hours in the backyard doing.
When you say you completely lost it, there's a range of what that means. does that mean you kicked your bag?
No, I picked my mini and my disc up. I yelled, "Are you
Michael
kidding me?" loud, and then threw my disc and mini pretty loudly at the ground.
Okay. So we've all seen worse.
So, I mean,
yeah, that's pretty mild.
Well, I mean, but
how was vibe on the card, if you don't mind me digging into it? How was vibe on the card after that?
I mean, I had Shankenfelder, Adam Marbs, and Scott Hill, and I talked to all of them after the round and apologized to them, pulled them all together. And I mean, they all seen me and seen everything that was happening.
Couldn't get it. It was pretty much just like,
bro, I understand, bro. I understand. Appreciate you saying, you know,
that's
apologize.
Cool, that's very cool that you did that.
I mean, that's all I did. You know, that's all I could do and try to be better next
time. We've all been there, man.
Own the mistake, address it, and like not going to happen again. That's all you can do.
Exactly.
And I think that's the thing, too, that listeners, myself, everybody that isn't in your shoes or the shoes of grinding MPO, whether it's regionally or nationally, players, is that that's not just a missed putt and then go back to 9 to 5 on Monday.
Right.
That's a missed putt that equals a dollar amount in your mind every time it
doesn't
stick. Right,
and that can be the factor of me playing an event in
another
3 weeks
event or anything else that you've got
right,
going.
Exactly.
So I think hopefully we start to change the way that we see those reactions, because for me to see it happen in a league, it's like, hey, man, knock it off.
Right, yeah.
But although that you knew you made a mistake in that moment,
right,
I understand the frustration.
Right.
Oh, there's totally
real pressure.
Yeah, there's definitely like there's always an understanding.
Yes. To go along with this, we were just watching golf downstairs at the bar. And the pace of play that Bolf puts on is so ungodly slow. Mm-hmm. It's stupid slow.
It's right. almost at like a 10 times slower
it's
than
ridiculous,
disc, or,
right?
Yeah, slower than disc
so
golf.
When we're watching Nico and he's taking 38 seconds to putt and we're like, dude,
what the
come
hell, right?
on. Yeah. These guys that are putting on the putting green playing golf are not even up to their lie yet, checking the wind and checking,
talking
you know,
to the caddy,
talking to the caddy,
how's
and walking
the green
over
roll?
The other end,
yeah.
and, you know, like all of these things. And they're not even attempting to move up to their lie yet. And I'm talking, you know, with Zach about it and thinking like, how neat would it be if the pressure and the pace of play was so much slower and lower that you could take your time and relax like golf is played,
right?
Because that seems like such a relaxing sport to me. I haven't played in 10 years, but I used to play all the time and it was so relaxing because you were never in a rush to get anywhere.
Right.
Like you were walking up to your ball and stepping away and looking and, you know, like, and, and we seem to have lost that. And I think that pace of play is dictated by the fact that that 10-foot putt may be the difference of $500,000 to these golfers.
Right.
Right. You know, in a Masters tournament, like that's $1 million worth of putts.
Easily.
You know? So take your time. And maybe it's $100, maybe it's $50 to Zach Finwall.
But you scale
but who cares? That's
still a full tank of gas driving to another
that's
state.
Money,
that's
man.
A hotel room
and,
where I can't find housing.
And in your mind, it might as well be $500,000. So slowing the game down overall.
Overall. I got thrown on today just playing casual back six and was like, just look back at these guys like.
The way I like to think
Michael,
about it.
Yeah. It's so, you know, and
let
it's
me
so
finish the hole for Christ's
it's
sake.
It's so difficult to rationalize slow play when you got a casual six behind you. Taking the game more seriously and realizing that that putt may be worth you playing another round or getting home or getting to Michigan or whatever, you know, that's a big deal.
I feel like disc golfers also shouldn't have to like, because I definitely know some people think this way is like they'll go mark their lie, step up, say 20 seconds goes by. They're in their head. All right, I got like 10, 15 seconds by.
Sure.
You'll never probably see a golfer. Okay, I've been here for 3 minutes. I got to try to hurry up and figure out this, how I play this.
Yeah,
you know
absolutely
what I mean?
Not. I don't know the rules of golf in time, but I can't imagine there's really a.
I can tell you the answer. No one cares.
Yeah, right.
Right. They just want to see you play and be in the zone and
yeah,
they don't care.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we've got people clocking Nico for 30 seconds.
Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes he does take a while. Sometimes he takes a few minutes, but
if we take the way we view it completely away and allow one of the best in the world, Nico LaCastro, to take 45 seconds.
Right.
Yeah.
Who cares?
And the story behind that is not believing in himself enough to make that putt. Mm-hmm. And him in those 40 seconds, he is talking himself up and talking himself into trying to make that putt.
Oh, yeah.
Correct.
It's not about where the wind is and what link I'm going to hit on the chains and, you know, is, you know, should I loft it or should I spush putt it or
right.
pin, you know, all these things. He's literally saying to himself, am I good enough to make this putt today? He won't putt until he convinces himself that he's good enough to do it.
Love that.
And when you realize that that's the case, hey, man, take all the time you need.
Right.
You know? Who cares? What's going to happen to the card behind you? Nothing.
Right.
Nothing at all.
Nothing.
That reminds me, I think it might be Scoozy that has I think this is the person.
Might be Floozy or Wizzy.
It could be Floozy or Wizzy. But I think Scoozy has a mini that says, you got this on it.
Nice.
Mm. Oh, I like
and
that.
Ever since I saw that, I was like, I want one of those.
Yeah.
I think Dickerson has a mini that says, putting is easy. So every time he looks down and sets it down, it's putting is easy and boom.
Love it.
There it is.
Well, it looks easy when he's
right. Yeah, right.
This is a really good transition into what it's like to be a touring pro because we're talking about the pressure that comes with, am I going to be able to play the next event? Am I going to have the gas money to get here? You know, like the pressure that comes along with, you know, being a new touring pro, there's, I mean, you don't have a sponsor paying for all your right. stuff. Like, you do you also have a 9-to-5? Like, do you have a...
I did, but I haven't worked in 13 months. I mean, I've done a little side work, started back up work here and there, but nothing consistent, so it's just been a grind.
Is disc golf paying, like, quote-unquote, paying the bills?
So, I kind of was a collector about 3 years ago, and I was really bad at spending money, so I spent a bunch of money on discs and frisbees, and it ended up being probably one of the best investments I made in my life.
Really?
I ended up with a bunch of frisbees, a bunch of collectible discs where I was selling, I had 130 zones that I sold for $100 to $500, $600 a piece. Get that I paid the any, the most I paid for one of them was $65. And that one I paid $65 for, I ended up getting close to $700 for.
Wow.
Does anyone have any thought on this?
No, but I remember we were in Vegas and we were playing a local small course and we were talking about how ridiculous it was that you stood in line and grabbed
those Firebirds.
A Firebird, a Sexton Firebird.
A lot of people did. And I told them, when yeah. has Innova ever paid you $100 an hour to stand in line?
Sure.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And they couldn't answer
me. I love
me.
That that's right. your mentality. About
yeah.
Him,
and so, I mean, yeah. spend $25 to make $600. I mean, I'd yep. stand there for
And
hours
so there's a lot of ways right. that I can't justify some of the idiots online trying to flip discs.
Right.
Because a lot of them are doing it for the wrong reasons. But for Zach Finwell to flip a disc so that he can play... Yeah. The next tournament. Not
so I can get to the next.
Do it every single
the
time.
Next event.
Right.
Do it grind. Every single time.
100%.
Right. For sure.
Because if you don't flip that disc,
somebody else is going to. Eventually. Gonna, right. It's not going to stay with them forever.
Right.
So how are you mapping out like what events you're going to play? How are you figuring out like where you need to be, when it's happening? Like, are you, how far down the
so
line
So this
are you
is like my first year actually sitting down, planning, trying to figure it out. It wasn't really like I need to go here, I need to go here. I wanted to check out some of the pro tour events because this year I pretty much had to sit down, figured out if I can do it, can I afford it, and then it's all just no expectations. I just want to get out, see the courses and learn, because most of these guys have been at Vegas for 10-12 years, been at Memorial for 10-12 years. This mm-hmm. is my first time ever seeing the course, so mm-hmm. I don't really have any expectations. It's more like just get out there, see most of the events and big events that people are playing. And then so then in 2022, when I actually get out there and try to get a tour pass, play every event, I know what I'm coming into.
So you're already planning for next year? And
oh, yeah. I've been planning for next year since last year.
Hey.
That's what we're talking about.
That's the way you do it, baby.
Like being a pro disc golfer, that's the plan until you have some reason not to be a pro
disc golfer. I'm told I can't, then I'm going to try to do it.
And that concept...
That's a concept,
is
dude.
Still very new at even yeah. the highest levels of
oh,
disc
yeah.
golf.
Oh, ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I pretty much had a conversation with my cousin, and it went like, I don't want to work for somebody else's dream, so I'm going to do what I can to make mine happen.
Did Danny tell you that?
No.
Because I feel like that's very
no, I'm talking,
Danny's mentality.
No, I was talking Ooh. To my cousin with about Ooh. This. It's like, I don't want to work for somebody else. I've done that. I've shoveled concrete for 10, 12 hours a day. It's not fun.
Mm.
I'm 28 and my body feels like I'm 50 already. You know what I mean? So it kind of yeah. sucks.
With the start of this touring season, you must have looked at the calendar and been like, there's this event I definitely want to try to get to. Like, how did you figure that part out?
So it was kind of like more events I signed up for in 2020 but couldn't play due to COVID. So I wanted to get back to those same events the next year. Like Throw Down the Mountain was a big one I've been trying to get into for a few years. And like mm-hmm. obviously Vegas and Memorial as well. I just went with whatever felt right for me.
What's been one of the biggest surprises to you, you know, being a touring pro disc golfer? Something you just didn't see coming before you got into this?
Probably the camaraderie of all the players. I mean, I can talk to somebody I've never met, never heard of my name, but it's like I've known them for a year to 10 years. It's like you started right out like where you left off.
I guess they would see you as helping the whole scene. Every pro disc golfer who goes for it and like dedicates their life to it, it helps to lift, you know, all, what's the expression?
I don't know.
You guys don't know the expression?
I don't know that one.
It's like a rising tide lifts all the ships or something like that.
That sounds awesome.
Mm, I'll mm-hmm. go with that.
It's, sure. It's basically that. Yeah. So you doing the right thing and trying to make this work
right.
elevates everybody's opportunities.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, more and more people that get out and do it, the bigger it's going to get.
There will be people who listen to this, whether it's young, you know, younger disc golfers or whatever, 28-year-old amateurs, right, who will hear this and for the first time have that conversation with themselves, like, what's stopping me from trying?
Right, I mean, yeah, honestly, Gavin, when I talked to him in 2020, he's like, bro, I got like $3,000 worth of tournament fees and I got like $3,000 in my pocket. He's like, and we're going. That's it. Make the move. If you fail, you fail. Right. You're back home.
Who cares? And by the way, not the first time this has been done, or in the first industry has this ever been this way.
Totally.
This is what it means to grow up and become like, you eventually hit a crossroads in your life where you go, either I'm going to stay in the kiddie pool or I'm going to jump in the deep end where
and grind it out.
I can't touch. And you're going to do that with a little bit of money in your pocket.
Mm-hmm. Right, barely
this
enough
isn't
to
crazy.
Survive.
No, I don't, no like, safety. Other people would think, "Whoa, you just—that's not crazy to me." What you're doing, what Gavin's doing, is exactly what you guys would be doing if you were home.
And if you think about
hustling
it, too,
hustling
like,
for money with a little bit of dough in your pocket, like everybody else. Like, I remember we're all
that
doing
moment.
The same
right.
thing. Yeah, and
exactly.
It's incredible. It's
I remember
awesome.
That moment for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You're grinding and working just as hard as anybody else is.
Yeah, I mean, it's if I'm not golfing, I'm selling discs online. If I'm not right. selling discs online, I'm at the post office.
Yeah.
The big separator between what you're doing and what most other people are doing is that you're pursuing a dream. You're not just
right.
pursuing whatever job you can get.
Right.
Which it's high risk, high reward.
Mm-hmm.
The odds of it working out, let's be honest, they're
slim.
It's slim.
Probably none.
But if you make it, you will have achieved something that's so
right.
few.
Right. And that'll be the best feeling in the world. Just
and
to
it
be
also depends
comfortable.
On, right. It also depends on what your idea of making it is.
Right. I don't need a $1 million contract. I don't need a $10 million contract. If a company right. paid me, say, $40,000 to $50,000 a year for the rest of my life or whatever, I'm fine with that. As long as I'm comfortable, even less than that, I'm good.
Yeah.
Do you hear that, Innova?
You can scoop him up now on the gym.
Figure it out.
$35,000.
Here's the generic question for you. If there
it's funny
was
you said Innova,
what
though.
Brand, if you could hand pick a brand to sponsor you and you would yeah. want to throw exclusively their discs,
it would not be Innova.
Man,
that's
what
why it was
is
funny.
That brand? And why
aside
is it
aside from Aerobee next?
Yeah.
Or Franklin.
I would have to go with Discraft or Discmania.
Yeah.
But you
and
have to
nailing
pick
it
one.
Down to one, man, that's hard.
You're talking to the Discmania ambassador.
I know.
Okay.
I would honestly, like a year and a half ago, I'd probably go Discraft.
Mm-hmm.
But lately I've been getting more into Discmania. And obviously talking with local players sponsored by them, I would probably go with Discmania. Reason being is I feel like Discraft just has so many Midwest players.
Mm-hmm.
So many. Like, how many Midwest people, like, how many Illinois people are sponsored by Discraft in Michigan and Wisconsin? I want to kind of, like, branch out and go somewhere else where, like, I'm not going to be pushing the same brand to all the same people that have been right. hearing the same thing for years now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, smart. I think you're at an age now, and disc golf is in a spot now where those lines are going to converge.
Right.
If you just put the work in, and you're clearly
yeah,
doing
now that. Is the time to figure it out for sure.
Yep.
Right. And I'm loving the jumping into the deep end. Speaking of which, with the videography stuff and YouTube, and
yeah,
it's great, man.
In a few months, have my website coming out.
Hell yeah,
griplockdisc.com. So.
Ballstothefinwall.com.
Thanks. Shout out to yep. Danny from Canapros for
ooh,
putting
nice.
That into works with me.
Do you have any regrets since you've started doing this?
No regrets.
I mean, no, not really. I've been with friends. I've came closer to people that I wasn't that close with while out on the road. I've seen more states and I've been to more places probably just this last 6 months than I have in my whole life. So, I mean, no.
Disc golf is giving you
an
a window to the world, which is
different
crazy.
Perspective.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Crazy.
It's kind of like how my brother wanted me to join the military for all them years. And because he's like, you travel the world for free, see this and see that. And like, that's what I'm doing, but doing what I want to do now.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
Not what.
You could have gone so, either way. They're so
the healthcare,
for sure. Definitely.
Similar routes.
No, believe
the
me.
The healthcare
I was,
is not as good. Yeah.
I was all the way down to where like I was about to go to MEPS and sign a contract and take a drug test and go into the military. And
would you have passed the drug test?
Oh, yeah. Back then, yeah. But like,
was that
I was an hour drive away from going to boot camp.
Was that pre-Ace at West Park or was that?
No,
post?
That was after.
It was after.
Yeah, I was.
After the
yeah.
Ace at West Park. Okay. Wow. Having been out of state and played out of state as many times as you have, and I'm not looking for a compliment, what is it like to play events out of state compared to events at home that maybe we run or other TDs that you know locally in Chicagoland?
Some
is there
them,
a different vibe, or is it like same everywhere else?
I mean most for like TDs and stuff, it's the same vibe. I've never really had like run into bad TDs, but like playing courses in different states has been kind of like a wake-up call.
Okay.
Because I mean, like, you were out in Vegas with us, like, mm-hmm. those courses is full commitment, full power. Like, you have maybe what, out of the three courses, less than 10 holes that are 300 feet and less.
Right.
Yeah. Like, full commitment, full power, every single
it's
shot.
It's a different planet.
You're making
for sure.
60 yeah. strong decisions or more around. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
Every shot is boom. You have to be fully committed, fully in the zone, everything.
Yeah.
And I feel like out here, some courses are like getting there. Obviously, Delwood's great. I mean, the XXL layout's good. The OG 18, let's say, like, it's more of kind of like strong, getting really good in touch with your mid ranges and fairways.
Right.
Unlike the OG from like the shorts, let's say, you don't really have to throw full power. You know what I mean?
Yeah, some of us don't.
So
we do.
When you go out,
I do.
You do.
Like when you go, I had blisters all over my hands from Vegas from throwing full power shots all the time. So like I had adhesive band-aids, athletic tape. Like my middle finger was twice as thick as it was from band-aids and athletic tape from all the blisters I had from just full power forehand, 450 feet, 420 feet, just right. every shot you have to bomb it.
Yeah.
Wild.
I mean, obviously not every course is like that because we went to Memorial right after and it's kind of a shorter course, but Vegas was a wake-up call.
Yeah.
That was like, holy shit.
I want to expand a little bit on Sean's question. Vibe-wise, there's got to be a certain amount of like, when you roll up to Delwood or whatever course around here and it's like people know it's Finwall the kid, like people know you can play.
I mean, it's
here.
Obviously it's a lot less, like I have a lot less nerves rolling up to a tournament out here just because I know everybody and I know as soon as I walk in a shop, it's open arms from everybody. Like, right. You know, nobody really has a problem out here.
When you're out on the road, it's you're not known. You're not
right. Like, you don't know anybody.
But does that fuel you or is it make
you nervous? Obviously there's going to be nervous. You're going to have nerves almost every event teeing off on the first hole. You're going to be nervous. But
speak for yourself.
Yeah.
Shit. Teach me the ways.
Yeah, right. I biff the first
but
shot.
But yeah, definitely out on the road it's definitely a bit more nerve-wracking.
I would feel like you're the kind of guy that, hey, nobody knows me, so you're going to by the end of this round.
I mean, yeah, I try to. Yeah, that's exactly the mentality I go by, but... I mean, obviously, it doesn't always work out that way, but that's super the mentality you definitely want to go by.
Good.
It doesn't work out that way for 90% of the field most times.
Yeah, so. Yeah, definitely.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's out there to win. If you're not out there to win, I don't know what... If you don't think you can beat all them guys out there, I don't know why you're out there.
Right.
Yeah. There's no reason. Like, you know, you have to be out there thinking that you're the best. You're going to make this putt. You're going to put it right where Paul McBeth drove his. You're going to outdrive him by 10 feet. You know, just you have to be in that mindset to be successful out on the road.
That can be applied, like Sean said earlier, that can be applied to anybody pursuing whatever
anything.
They're pursuing.
Right. Any kind, anything you want to pursue.
I got to give you props, man. I think you've got wisdom beyond your years. I think your perspective on this whole mission that you're on is just incredibly wise and humble and inspiring in a lot of ways. So
appreciate that.
That is exactly why I think you are a great ambassador for the sport. We could package that with a few other things, but yeah, man, that's the full package.
If you haven't watched round two of OTB Open and seen Nate Sexton's short documentary, however you want to call it, go watch it. You have to remember that all of us started this game to have fun. None of us went out there our first day and was like, oh, I'm going to be a professional disc golfer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So remember to be out there, have fun. And yeah, if you haven't seen that, go watch it.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier, Zach and I, and it'll change your perspective of the game.
It will.
Even if all of us sitting here, it'll change your perspective.
Your best shot of your life can come after the worst hole of your life.
Absolutely.
You can take a 15, but that next hole, you can have a 400-foot ace, and you, guess what? You're going home with a $2,500 ace pot or something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. For Highland... Oh, man. First hole, lose a disc, take a 6 or a 7. Went 16 straight pars, just trying to get out of my own head.
And then what happened
18,
on 18?
Hit an ace for $600.
Yes,
and
you
now
did.
It was the greatest thing ever.
Yep.
Right.
It's just, I mean, that's the perfect round
such
to put into example.
Ace, dude. My God.
At the
I
Unstable
remember thinking,
Open.
He
no big deal.
I mean,
he
like,
did
wait, you aced 18 at Highland?
At Highland, yeah. After the worst, like, mental round, I was like, holy cow.
At the Unstable Open, no big deal.
Oh, was it?
Yep.
Yeah. Unstable vibes.
And you want to know something better?
You must have been wearing some unstable gear, weren't you? If you didn't wear unstable gear to the
unstable
open.
Just say yes. Yeah, you were.
Also,
yeah.
Anybody aware that the fact you're in his PDGA photo? Do you know this?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you said you're yeah.
Yes. Google Zach interviewing. Yep.
Yeah.
PDGA.
Yeah, it's great.
And it's you and him in the photo.
It's awesome.
Couldn't
it's
be more fantastic. Appropriate. Yep.
Awesome.
Yes. Just in case you guys missed that, you said urine.
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 And that's a wrap on the heart and soul of this episode. And that was awesome.
Sunny and Cher.
Awesome.
Appreciate you guys having me.
So, well, we're not done yet, but that is the main chunk of this wrapped up, and that takes us along right into the old mailbag. Jason, take us into the mailbag, please.
Sure.
Mail time.
Now, we'll get
that was great.
Thank you.
Into it. There's some great questions
tonight. I practiced.
Our first question comes from a guy named Jason Callahan, and he wants to know...
Wait, who? I'm sorry?
Me. What? Did you say spush putt earlier?
I did.
Yes.
What is a spush putt?
Ah,
there
spush
are,
it.
There Zach, take it away. What's a spush
Zach,
putt?
Zach, go ahead.
It's like a mixture of a spin and a push putt.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
So what's
a spin putt?
So a spin putt would be more like you're throwing the disc normally, you know,
off
the tee. You're
spinning
it harder.
Yeah, a lot of players putt with they kind of break their wrist to put more spin on it.
Okay.
And then a push putt would be more like you're just
straight at it.
Lobbing it.
You know, lobbing it, pushing it.
Spin putt is like Simon Lazat and Eagle McMahon.
Uh-huh.
Push putt is like Ricky Wysocki.
Correct.
Pretty much, yeah.
Now he gets it.
Total clarification.
But if you combine the two, that's a spush putt. Correct.
Got it.
But please drop the salt and pepper in here.
Push it real good.
Ooh, baby.
I used to break skate to that song.
I got chills.
You kind of answered this question earlier. I believe it's directed towards Zach. Joe Moore wants to know, why did you start playing?
Man, why did I start playing?
Yeah.
We were bored in the garage.
Yeah.
I mean,
in the garage.
The reason I started playing in 2016 was just like to get a hobby. I kind of quit playing 16 in softball because I blew out my right knee.
Oh my God!
Alex, no! Not again!
Why is it always me that
Three
gets hit by the train?
Three times in a row!
Oh my God.
Anyway.
2016. So that was 5 years ago. You were 23 years old.
Well, that's when I started actually like playing. Yeah.
And he's got a second part to this question. What made you want to get better? What's your drive?
Watching Corey Raines throw 450-foot forehands.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, that's who those two guys were the guys I probably played
you
the most
that,
rounds
wanted,
with.
Like,
just
I want to
like,
do
yeah,
that.
It was three rounds a day and just him bombing all day long.
Nice. That's awesome.
And I got a little opto flow. Just, that was my disc.
All right, next question.
Mm-hmm.
Comes to us from Vicky Pulitzer.
Mm-hmm.
Pulitzer?
Mm-hmm.
What was your go-to driver when you first started? And what is a disc that you love to use that doesn't get as much hype as it should?
Good job,
my go-to disc when I first started was a Champion Beast.
I think we can go around the room on this one. So you were a Champion Beast. Alex, what was your go-to driver when you first started?
DX Beast.
Okay. Sean?
Also DX Beast.
Wow. Ryan, we're back to you.
Just say Beast, man. Don't ruin this.
You know what? I did have a blue DX Beast that I lost
Mine
a hole for on Highland.
Nice.
So I'll say a DX Beast.
Awesome.
Hell yeah.
What is a disc that you love to use that doesn't get as much hype as it should?
Oof, that's a good question.
Raptor.
Cloudbreaker.
I mean, it was the Raptor, but I used that disc before like anybody used it. That was like, but now it's because Ulibarri, it definitely has its name. It's definitely hyped, so I can't say Raptor. The Ontario Pro Rhino off the tee.
Did not see that coming.
Yeah, not many people, because I can't go Raptor because there's way too much hype around it now with Ulibarri. And like, it's a year ago, you can get them for $10, $20. Now you're paying $100 for a Raptor. So I think they got their hype.
Yeah.
Well, watch the Rhino blow up now when this episode drops.
Yeah. He's just got a room full of rhinos. That's what he's just
got. Nine.
Value.
Like 9 or 10.
He's trying to hype up that price right now.
9 or 10 throwers.
Nice. Kind of hot in these rhinos.
Yeah.
So
Somebody got that? Thank
yeah.
you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank
Ace Ventura 2?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
So I have a question around discs, because now that I am...
They are round, correct.
They are, yes. I got it. They are, thank you. All right, mm-hmm. next question. No. So now that I'm on the retail side of it, what I'm noticing is every time I work, there will be one disc that for whatever reason, I'm ringing up like 40 of them a day. Yes. So there was a Sunday where I worked where it was like, I eventually started making jokes. It was like, oh, actually confetti should fall from the ceiling because you're like the 400th person to buy a Halo Wraith today. So when that happens, what is happening to cause that?
I wonder if it has to do with some pro just having to mention it. Yeah, it's
hype.
It.
Coverage, hype,
a lot of like
promotions.
Collector groups putting them up and selling them probably gets a lot more people wanting to buy them.
Okay. So it's not, you're saying more hype around the disc is going to sell it more than how well people are talking about the disc works. It's just excitement around a release.
Yeah.
Versus, oh my God, dude, I threw this Halo Wraith. And yeah, everyone's like, I got to get it.
People have been going crazy for months on Firebirds. And,
okay.
Yeah, I would say 80% of the people buying Halo Wraiths
can't throw them.
Have no business throwing them.
Right. I see. That answers my question. Because I was like,
they look cool as shit, man. Buy one.
Is somebody out there telling everybody, like, holy shit, you got to have a Halo Wraith in your bag because I threw it and it went an extra 50 feet, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
Okay.
I mean, and that's the conversation we're having in the shop, too, is like, you shouldn't be getting this, but you're getting this because you want one because it's a double G
Wraith.
Okay.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Right. You can do that.
Fair enough. The next question, we're going to go to Justin Teller. He wants to know,
T-time Teller.
When eating peanut butter and jelly, what flavored jelly and jam do you use and why? Great question.
Well, I'm going to have to start off with, I eat more peanut butter and fluff. Than I do peanut butter and jelly.
My man.
No. More than I eat peanut butter and jelly. But if I had to choose, it would probably be strawberry jam.
You ever go all three?
No. Man.
You should try all three.
Sometime. I might tonight.
I call it the Neapolitan.
Tonight.
Because it looks like Neapolitan ice cream. Like if you did.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't
peanut
even
butter,
think about that.
Fluff, jelly.
But yeah. Definitely a peanut butter and fluff guy. Toast the bread. Throw peanut butter on both sides. Cover fluff in the middle.
No. I eat peanut butter and jelly so quickly that waiting for the bread to toast.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
No time in my life for that.
I would eat peanut butter and jelly while waiting for the toast for the peanut butter jelly.
Plus, all toasting it does is make the peanut butter runny. Nothing infuriates me more
than
biting into a sandwich and having stuff
I bet
fall out.
All of us can name something that infuriates you more right now.
Yeah.
All of us can name something that infuriates you more than that.
I mean, like, child rapists infuriate me more than...
More than runny peanut butter?
More than runny peanut butter. Yeah. But I'm saying, food-wise, nothing infuriates me more than biting into a sandwich, whether it's PB&J or it's footlong from Subway. Biting into it and something shooting out the other end. I want to murder somebody when that happens. Yeah.
Messy Sammies.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Don't even say it.
No. I'm good.
Next question. Let's move on. Next question comes to us from Nicholas Seminary. He wants to know, how many states have you played disc golf in?
Ooh, how many states?
Count them right now. Go.
Maybe 10.
10? Yeah.
Maybe around 10 states. Yeah.
Okay. And before that,
that's awesome.
How many states
before
have you
this
visited?
Year, it was maybe like 4 or 5.
Okay. That's cool.
Like it was Illinois, Iowa, Wisconsin, the surrounding, you know?
Sure.
Michigan, yeah, Wisconsin, that was it.
So everything okay?
I'm just laughing at a stupid joke that I'm not going to... We can cut this out, but I was trying to figure out how to make a joke about emotional states you played in. Excited? Hungry?
That's pretty good. I didn't go there at all. Good. That's pretty good. All right, next
Illinois,
question.
Illinois, Iowa,
I finally,
sadness.
Yeah.
Sadness.
I finally played in the state of disbelief.
Yeah. Florida. Oh,
one time I made a statement. Casey Glade wants to know, what is your most memorable ace?
Ooh.
If you say anything other than that first one,
that's got to be pretty freaking memorable.
No, the one at the Unstable Open, obviously.
I mean, that's 18 at Highland. It was just
Do you
like,
have like a stupid amount of aces where you like you don't remember them all? Or do you have like...
I'm probably like... I don't remember them, but 20. I probably have like 35 to 40.
He's got enough where you stop remembering.
Mm. Yeah. That's more than all of us combined.
Well, I used to play Dugan a lot, so I got quite a few aces there.
We've counted.
We did the math.
Yeah, I had to go to Highland just after that crazy round and tapping out on one for a six and then taking three steps to my right and finding my disc that I threw to have a deuce putt and just all the pars in a row and then an ace 10. I was like, yeah, that's got to be my most memorable.
Badass. Easy. Such a cool ace, too.
Yeah.
Past guest of the show. Patrick Richard. You can find him on Patty Instagram Rich. At @PattyPattyRichRich. That's not true. I just made that because I thought it sounded
something like that.
Patty Rich. No, he's got like 17 different Instagrams.
That's Pat's Instagram.
Patty Rich. Instagram was that. If I tagged him in it.
He has a different Instagram account for everything
his
he does.
Biking
so
was,
I was
Patty Rich.
Poking fun at him for doing that.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
What products do you use in your beard?
Yes.
Mostly conditioner, but occasionally I do use, it doesn't have like a name to it, it's a handcrafted boutique beard oil that sometimes put in. I couldn't even tell you. It's not like any scent. It's just, it doesn't have any smell to it.
That's a shame. That's like my favorite thing about beard oil.
Yeah, I can't really.
God. My facial hair isn't long enough to make a noticeable difference, but I will slather
the
my
lady
whole
says it
face
smells
in
good,
that
so
shit.
That's good for me.
God, it smells great.
Why are you so shiny?
Slathered.
Yeah.
Can you please ask the question that I put in the mailbag?
Sure. I was going to end with it.
Oh, good. I really need to hear your answer.
I'm going to do one more Patty Rich Rich question. Because he submitted one? Two. He said, you got $25,000. And we're off to the Bellagio. What are we playing?
Oh, I know what he's playing.
Yeah, probably some 5-10 Hold'em or PLO.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
But if I had 25 grand, I'm probably to go gamble with, I'm playing the World Series of Poker.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's definitely on one of my bucket lists to do in the future is play the World Series of Poker one day.
When will Delwood host a poker tournament to raise funds of some kind?
Should. Ledgestone does it.
I'm not a card guy, but I could whip it together, I think.
I would
all you need is an app.
I mean, I've got a handful of disc golfers that would love to do it, but I mean,
Nate does it and all the people from Ledgestone, they get in and like first place is like a mock X. I think like first through third was like mock X's, like third through sixth was carts and stuff like that. And there's a lot of people. And if they just ran it on some app.
No shit.
Oh, Poker Bros?
There's so many.
But if you get the itch, I would love to help with that.
Yeah, for sure. That'd be awesome.
A great idea.
I'd get it on that.
Hell yeah.
I'll play
hell
some
yeah.
poker. Final question of the night comes to us from a guy named Alex Seminary.
Skip it.
All right, moving on. That is the end of the mailbag. his question is to you, Zach, and he wants to know if Ryan himself, Sean, and myself had a cage match fight to the death.
Ooh,
no.
How do you think it would go?
How do you think? Because it's not just about who would win. I want to know
how would it go?
How would it go? Damn.
We could recreate it in this very small
room. Yeah, right.
It's like a cage. Yeah.
How do I think it would go? Alex would be dressed up as obviously Rikishi.
Yeah.
I can see Sean coming in as like a little Randy Orton.
Okay. That's fair.
All right.
Fancher.
Who's getting the stink face, though? That's the question.
Fancher for sure.
Fanny.
No.
Fancher for sure.
I'm out first. Yeah.
Jason over here with Kane.
Oh, good one.
Oh, yeah. Kane and Undertaker, the brotherly
rivalry. Yeah.
All right.
So Sean has to burn you.
Yeah.
We're not leaving until you answer.
It's to the death.
How many people can Rikishi grab at once? Dude was huge. He got good grip.
There's a lot of surface area.
If you grab something, are you letting him go?
I will stink face everyone to death. Yeah.
That's how the fight ends. Just
Michael
Alex eats some wings, faces. Shits himself, and everybody's done.
Yeah.
You don't know how real that is right now. You really don't know. But cool. That's a really nice wrap on the mailbag.
Stink face.
Talking about stink face and diarrhea.
Stink face and diarrhea.
And now let's get to the trivia portion of the night.
Do you mean tonight's trivia portion of the night?
That is
Michael.
That's exactly what I mean. Yeah.
Excellent.
What do you got for us tonight, Jason?
Yeah, I thought, considering the circumstances around the Callahan curse and Sean's almost bone break, I thought it would be cool to discuss broken bones. We've all probably had them at least once in our life. So the question that I'm going to pose to the listeners is, what is the cumulative number of broken bones that myself, Alex, Ryan, and Sean have had in our years of existence?
Not like accidents where you broke multiple bones, but each one of those bones in each accident. Combined total.
Combined total. Yes. Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
All together. Yes.
Does a fracture count?
No, has to be a legit broken bone. So a fracture does not count. Because I'm not going to include Sean's fractured elbow in this.
Got it. So only full breaks.
Full breaks.
Full breaks only.
FBs.
Dems the breaks, kid.
Dems the breaks, kid.
All right, cool.
Yep.
Good luck, listeners. I think you might be surprised by the answer.
And I, you know, I realize that we have yet to kind of, at least this season, remind people how to interact with the trivia portion of the night. So if you're a new listener, the way it works is you go onto Facebook, you look for a post associated with the conversation that we're having now, and that's where you supply your answers. We go through them. We announce the winners on the following episode. So make sure to do that. Follow us on Facebook and look for the post.
Do it.
Yes.
It's time for the pinned it moment of the episode, brought to you by discgolfpins.com.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Nina.
At this part of the show, we talk about the perfect just pinned it moment of the episode. Whatever you feel was just perfect. Whoever has one, speak.
I've got one.
Yeah, go for it.
Please.
The first sip of that whiskey sour.
Oh.
After Nick made it for us.
Yeah.
Pinned it for me.
Yeah, very good. I'm finishing it and I'm enjoying it.
I can't remember exactly what you said, but there was a moment right toward the end of the heart of the episode, Zach, where you talked about, damn, I wish I could remember. It was like the very last sentence you said that just was the perfect bow on.
We didn't start playing this sport to think we were going to be a professional in 3 years and be making money.
Yes.
We all came out here to have fun.
Yep. It was the moment that perfectly encapsulated why you're a great ambassador for the sport. So for me, that pinned it.
Aww. Nice.
And if nobody else has any other pinned it moments, then that is a wrap on pinned it.
That's it.
Brought to you by discgolfpins.com. And that is a wrap on the episode, right?
We're done.
I think so.
Before we get out of here, I'll give you a little preview of the next episode. We have already figured out who our guest is going to be. This is risky because things could always change, but I'm going to put it out there. Next on is Into Club Part 2 with the boys from Circle 1. So we're going to have Scott Rangel on here. Busy.
Oh, man.
And some of those other people. And we are also going to be introducing a brand new segment that I'm very excited to share with you guys. So make sure you tune in. And thanks for listening to this one. Until next time, keep it tight.
See ya.
Goodbye, y'all.
Have a great one.
Goodbye.
Listen to Unstable Discourse on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or right from Buzzsprout.com. And if you have the time, leave us a rating and review. It helps the podcast get to more listeners.
Unstable Discourse is a Top Secret Studios production.
You guys think I'm not paying attention, but I'm always paying attention.